hail the power of Juju's name. Forgot the high note. You have to be a choir boy to reach that. Speedy on. Let's continue in worship as we bring our prayers. Almighty God, as we prepare to worship today, we ask that you will stretch our imaginations to sense the majesty and mystery of your ascension. Help us perceive how Jesus' presence in heaven can give us confidence in our praying and hope for the future. We come today reminded of your greatness and glory, your sovereign power and eternal purpose, all expressed so wonderfully in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Risen and ascended, we thank you for the wonder of ascension, that marvelous yet mysterious moment in the life of the disciples, which left them gazing heavenwards in confusion, yet departing in joy. We thank you for the way that it brought the earthly ministry of Jesus to a fitting conclusion, signifying his oneness with you. And Heavenly Father, demonstrating your final seal of approval on all that he had done. We thank you that through his ascension, Jesus is now set free to be Lord of all. no longer bound to a particular place or time, but with us always, able to reach even to the ends of the earth. We thank you that through his departing, Jesus prepared for his coming again through his Spirit, his church, and his coming again in glory. Forgive us for so often failing to grasp the wonder of ascension, for living each day as though it had never been. Forgive the smallness of our vision, the narrowness of our outlook, the weakness of our love, the nervousness, our repeated failure to recognize the fullness of your revelation in Christ. Give us a deeper sense of wonder, a stronger faith, and a greater understanding of all that you have done. Like the disciples, we too will never fully understand all that ascension means. We accept, but we don't fully understand. We believe, yet we have many questions. Help us, despite our uncertainty, to hold firm to the great truth that the wonder of Christ Jesus goes far beyond anything that we can ever imagine. And in faith, may we live each day to his glory and honour. Amen. Let's join together and say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. Let's pray for our young people. Lots. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we come together as your church family. We thank you that we care for one another, Lord, and that we come to learn more about you. We also come to encourage one another, to remember your love and your hope for each one of us. Lord, be with our young people. Be with their leaders, Lord. Give them your words. Lord, may we be able to share together at the end of this time, knowing that we come together as your family. Amen. Let's join together and sing number 109, Crown Him with Many Crowns. as we're going to continue to look at Acts chapter 1. As I said, it's Ascension Day on Thursday, so we're going to be pre-prepared. It fulfills Jesus' teaching that for the Holy Spirit to come, he must return to heaven. And as I say, we're going to look at the book of Acts over a few weeks. And it's the most exciting book in some ways because, as I said earlier, the mission radiates out of Jerusalem following God's plan to reach the whole world. And so we're going to read the extra verses that I missed out a couple of weeks ago, and Brian will bring us our reading. Thank you.
I guess you may have found Acts in the Bible. It's actually on page 1092. It's a page without a number, as it's right at the beginning. So we're reading from chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. Jesus taken up into heaven. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered round him and asked, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go to heaven." Take these off the farm on the way back.
Thanks, Brian. As the disciples stand gazing, we realize that they're much like us in their humanity. The Holy Spirit must come if the kingdom of God is to develop into the form of the worldwide church, bringing good news, a message of hope based on the firm foundation of the one who is our sure hope. So let's sing number 473. "My hope is built on nothing less."
Thank you.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we've just sung those words, that is our promise from you for our future, that we will stand before you faultless. Lord, may that be the reality of our present lives, Lord, that we live and stand on that firm hope. Bless us now, Lord, as we receive your word to us. Lord, may not only that we hear, but that we be doers of your word, of your command. Amen. This morning we're going to think about a sure hope, and if something that the world really needs at the moment, it's hope. And please look at the poster on the way out, because I've read it. You didn't know, God knew. It's very amazing that when Nigel changes the posters, he doesn't necessarily know what I'm going to say, but God does. And so please look at the poster on the way out. First of all, I want to apologise for the sermon I preached 2 weeks ago. If anyone went home traumatised with memories of assembling IKEA flat pack furniture, I am sorry. I thought it was a good illustration, but I realise I may have left you trembling in your seats. But as I said, as the Allen key symbolises the essence of IKEA, so the passage that we've had this morning and again 2 weeks ago explains the keys to doing the mission that Jesus commands each one of us to do. We all have the same obligation and responsibility. So number one, it's a firm foundation. As I said, the resurrection of Jesus that Luke emphasizes in the beginning, well, both in his gospel, Luke 24, and also Acts chapter 1, the truth and the proof that Jesus is risen. Jesus is alive. What sets us apart from every other faith is that we serve a living Lord. The bodily resurrection of Jesus is the essence of our Christian faith. Then Jesus is teaching about his kingdom. It gives us that firm foundation for our mission. It's not something that just ends because Jesus has gone to heaven. We have the work to continue. It's a mission. But praise God, we don't do it in our own strength, because number two, we have sufficient power. He sends his Holy Spirit. We're going to think a bit more about the Holy Spirit in the coming weeks as we move closer to Pentecost. And the sharp missional focus, the great commission that Jesus commands and commissions, that's God's plan to reach the whole of the world. Jesus has said it's not for us to know the times and the periods, so we need to act as if everything is urgent. Do we act with any sense of urgency, or do we think, well, it's been 2,000 years, so, you know, we don't know, it could be tomorrow, but we don't know. And so our witness must extend towards people, as I said, that maybe our culture, maybe even ourselves, may reject. It's important, as I say, as we start to think about the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, that we learn how to unite the power and the plan. Because when this happens, extraordinary things begin to occur. Before this, we're much like the disciples that we've just read about. They stood gazing at Jesus as Jesus' ascension, and they were reprimanded. Here in Acts, Luke elaborates on the story of Jesus' ascension, which he had told at the end of his gospel. And we can visualize the disciples, can't we, as Jesus is taken up. Do you have a picture in your head? I know a few years ago it caused a bit of hilarity. But, you know, actually thinking about it, you know, we all have different visions of what that looks like and have seen different pictures. And we can all agree it's not something that you see every day. No? Nobody seen anybody with their feet dangling from the clouds? No. So what causes you to stand and stare? Have you ever just stood and stared at something because you just can't believe what you're looking at? Yep, you're doing it now. Can't believe she stood there talking to me. Some of you know I was in London last weekend and into the week. And last Sunday I was in Trafalgar Square. Haven't been there for a good number of years. I stood and stared at a giant dollop of ice cream with a cherry on top on plinth number 4. An art installation. And according to the Gumpf, it has an organic fly. I don't know what an organic fly is. And a modern fly, a drone. And it's on the ice cream, which it says slumped slightly melted over the plinth. Anyone know what I mean? If you don't know, go home and Google it. I might have a picture on my phone, actually, if you want to ask me later. But it does what it intends to do, because, you know, those of you who've been to Trafalgar Square, it's quite a nice place to stand and look at everything else and look at the scenery. But if you want to stand and go, I can't believe what I'm looking at, the dollop of ice cream on plinth 4 is your place. What's our default position when we try to process something that we don't understand? Sometimes we perhaps maybe just slump our heads, but sometimes you find yourself, don't you, staring into space, trying to understand, trying to comprehend. Perhaps an experience that's never happened before, or perhaps something that's overwhelming and difficult. We just sometimes just stare and we focus, not necessarily on anything in particular. And so we see the question that's asked of the disciples, why do you just stand here looking up at an empty sky? You kind of get the feeling that once Jesus had descended, they were quite slow to move. But I think I would have stood there and stared a bit as well. Would you? It would be like, is he really gone? Is he coming back? Did I just see that? A couple of years ago, you might remember, I was going through my cloud gazing stage. I mean, a couple of years ago, we didn't have a lot else to do, really, did we? But you know, as I say, there is beauty in clouds and shapes. But the cloud that received Jesus out and took him out of their sight was probably the Shekinah, the glory of the divine presence, the glory of God. If we read through the Bible, whenever the glory of God is around his people, it's symbolized in a cloud. And as the disciples quite naturally stood gazing up into the sky at this unusual sight, two men in white clothing, it says probably angels, suddenly stood beside them and literally said, and I'm reading from the Message, why do you just stand here looking up at an empty sky? This very Jesus who was taken up from among you to heaven will come as certainly and mysteriously as he left. I kind of feel underlying that perhaps Luke doesn't record. It's an encouraging spiritual kick in the pants for the disciples and by default us, meaning get on with what Jesus has told you to do. Do you get the sense of urgency that the angels are saying, come on, shift. We need that sometimes, don't we, ourselves? Come on, stop standing, staring, stop, you know, doing what we do. I was listening to the radio this morning. Someone asked a great question, and I thought, I'm going to say the same later. Why don't I do what I'm supposed to do? And I thought, what a brilliant question. You know, we don't ask ourselves that very much, do we? Why don't I do what I'm supposed to do? And the answers that came out of the interview were procrastination. I have a degree in that. Uncertainty. Sorry, Brian.
It's a thief of time.
A thief of time, yes, indeed. Uncertainty. Fear. Sometimes we're a bit fearful of what we're about to undertake. And I think all of that is quite true about the mission that Jesus commands each one of us to do. You know, we can procrastinate about how we're going to do it. We can be uncertain, you know, why is it me? You know, little old me. Fear, because we don't know what response we may receive back. Someone wrote, we are your people, God. And as much as we love sky gazing, we know that you call us to give witness in the middle of terror, anxiety, illness, death, and apathy. Help us to listen deeply, see far and wide, and live faithfully. It's good words. somebody's had time to sit and to think. Why were the disciples reprimanded? The angels affirm that Jesus had not only ascended, but at the right time would descend. He will return. Specifically, that Jesus is alive. He is guiding the church right now as we sit and listen to his word. The critical point will be repeated all the way through the book of Acts. So therefore, the certainty of Jesus' ascension, as witnessed by the disciples, guarantees the certainty of his bodily return. And that's why, to do Jesus' work, we must have that sure hope living inside us. If we know for sure that Jesus is coming back, which the Bible says he is, and we believe, then we will be obedient to the work that he has given us to do. God has a plan to reach the whole of the world, all nations. We must use the fact of Jesus' resurrection in bearing witness, because it says within the Gospels, before he comes, the gospel must first be preached to all the nations. Our ability to carry out the Lord's missionary command depends on the fact that Jesus is exalted, that he is elevated and triumphant at the right hand of God, where he possesses all power and authority. We read in Matthew 28, just at the start of the Great Commission passage, then Jesus came to them, that's his disciples, and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go." Jesus' ascension not only means that he has all power and authority, but also that he has made the once and for all offering for sins for all time. So we can confidently proclaim forgiveness of sins in his name to everyone who repents and believes in him. His place at the right Father's right hand also means that he is interceding for his people. The Bible says that right here and now, Jesus is praying for each one of us. He knows what we're going through. He knows the problems. He knows what we need to be doing next. And he prays to his Father. He calls us his saints. Thought of yourself as one of Jesus' saints. Think on that later. So we can be assured of his care for us when we suffer. Many suffer persecution for the sake of the gospel. But knowing that Jesus is interceding, that Jesus has all power and authority, that's the firm foundation that our sisters and brothers in places like North Korea, China, India, atrocities that have happened in Nigeria this week, are standing on. And persecution will come. We're all right at the moment, but it will come, even to this country. The fact that he is coming again and we must give an account to him should also motivate us to be faithful to the mission that he has entrusted us to do. Every believer is responsible for actively taking part in God's kingdom work. Wherever he has placed us, that's how the gospel will reach all nations. And I apologise to any Wickham fans this morning. But like a game of football, I'd written this before yesterday. We're not sitting on the bench waiting for the manager to call us. We are on the pitch, the world stage, playing already, being trained and equipped by the power of the Holy Spirit. We read in Paul's letter to the Galatians, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. If we don't know the plan, and often when you watch a game of football you think they don't, then we need to get closer to our Heavenly Father and ask through prayer and reading his word what he wants us to do. If we feel inadequate in our situation, understandably so, it's massive, then pray to the one who strengthens us, so that God will receive all the glory, not us. Every believer not only has the Holy Spirit, but is accountable to allow the Spirit of Christ to live through each of our lives. Perhaps we need to ask ourselves the question, have we become too worldly? So consumed with all that it can give us and all that is going on around us that we are distracted, that we've lost sight of God's plan to reach the world. Perhaps then we must adjust our gaze and get on with kingdom living instead. Being alert and ready to see God's work in and through each one of us. We've got to focus on the implications of God saving each one of us and imparting his spirit in our lives. Asked the question a couple of weeks ago, haven't most nations now been penetrated by the gospel? When we read those words, it doesn't mean all people in those nations have heard the gospel. It means that God's word has spread to all nations. But you would think, wouldn't you, with the reach of communication now that we have at our disposal with missionaries going out to countries and the distribution of biblical material, that surely most nations have been touched by the gospel. Research has suggested that there are 6,825 unreached people groups, those who are yet to receive the gospel, those who remain unsaved. Nobody knows the day or the hour of Jesus' return. We can only warn those who are perishing without Christ, without hope, to come to him in faith and put their trust in him. The one thing that we know for certain is that Jesus will return. We must rely on the Spirit's power when we share our stories, being able to pray for the sick, witness to the lost, pray for the impossible, try to sense what God wants to do through us, even when we're procrastinating and uncertain and fearful. Be at peace. God's Spirit is with us. Perhaps we have a sense that God's kingdom isn't expanding around us or is not doing it quick enough in our opinion. That's when we need to reconnect with his Holy Spirit and see how his empowering is showing us how we should live our lives for God and his plan. We each have an obligation to go, to follow, to show God in our lives so others will want to know more. We must never go ahead of God and his Holy Spirit, thinking that endless doing is God's plan. We must pause regularly and ask him, is this God's way or my way? As we study the book of Acts, we'll begin to grasp that God wants to work in and through his people, no matter who we are. We also learn how he carries out his plan to reach the world by using us in the most extraordinary of ways when we allow him to. We read that a healthy church is one that is energized by faith and outward looking, understanding their spiritual roots and eagerly allowing God's purpose to be worked out through each of our lives. We need to focus on how Jesus conducted his ministry. He's our role model. It will be the same way that he works through us. Do you have the Holy Spirit? Paul writes again to the church in Galatia. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles, that's us, through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. The message just clarifies that, says, if we are all able to receive God's life, his Spirit, in and with us by believing, just the way that Abraham received it. Do we worry about how we will live for our Lord? Be reassured, be confident, ask him. Don't live by feelings. We're told to walk by faith. If we rely on our feelings, then we will be just gazing into the sky. We need to remember that we are first and foremost a member of God's kingdom, and we take instructions only through his abiding Holy Spirit. We have the key, the sure hope that Jesus is returning. What will it be like? It's impossible to know exactly what the experience will be like, but we can expect it to be awesome, to be magnificent. When we read through the New Testament, we get a few clues. But we know that we'll be transformed physically. No more aches and pains, hurrah. No more death. And in an instant, we'll be brought into the presence of our Heavenly Father to remain with him eternally. Wow, what a hope. As we live in the present, hold on to the future perspective. It's easy to become disheartened by the materialism, selfishness, and hopelessness of this world. However, we can encourage one another and others about Jesus' return. We read it in Thessalonians 4, and we read it, as we've just had, in Acts chapter 1. This very Jesus who was taken up from among you to heaven will come as certainly and mysteriously as he left. So when troubles get us down, think about this exciting event in our future, because the best is yet to come. We have the keys, 1, 2, 3, 4, the essence of our faith. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that we have a firm foundation. We have sufficient power. We have a sharp missional focus. We have a sure hope. Because Jesus ascended and sits at the right hand of God, a new world has broken into ours. A world in which justice does come for the poor. Freedom comes for the prisoners. And healing for the sick. Because Jesus ascended and sits at the right hand of God, a new community has been formed. A community that loves and cares for its members. A family that welcomes all who are abandoned and rejected. A place where all find a sense of belonging. Because Jesus ascended and sits at the right hand of God, a new creation has begun. All that was distorted is being restored. All that is corrupted is being renewed. All that was broken is being made whole. Because Jesus ascended and sits at the right hand of God, God's new world has begun. Heavenly Father, open our spiritual ears to the voice of our shepherd and our spiritual eyes to the glory of our God. As we think on Thursday, Ascension Day, a day when we celebrate Christ's return to God, we look up in wonder as he is lifted from us into heaven. But this is not a time to gaze upward. There is work to be done. Jesus has entrusted the ministry of God's love to us. So let's get to work. Let's make our hearts ready for the task ahead with prayer and praise. Amen. Let's join together in our praise and sing Christ Triumphant, Ever Reigning, number 77. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Go out into the world and in your words and in your lives bear witness to the Christ who has ascended to be everywhere present. And as you come to know him, may God give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. May Christ Jesus lift up his hands and bless you. And may the Spirit open to you all the riches of Christ's inheritance. We go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. Amen. Just a couple of things to say, as always. So most of you that are signed up for the Big Church Read will have got my email in the week to say that it's been delayed for a couple of weeks as they can't get Pete Grieg to do the videos. He's a very busy man doing lots of Christian events. So we intend to start around about the 9th and 10th of June. So if you've got a book or you took a book last week and you didn't get that email, and if you're not on email, I know a couple of people, but please let me know so I can make sure you're all on the circulation. And then next Saturday we have men's breakfast. Yes, Notorious we've been looking at, an integrated study of the rogues, scoundrels and scallywags of Scripture. And next week we'll be looking at Paul. And also the invitations are now going out for the party, for the Platinum Jubilee. They were all rehearsing last week when I was in London, so I got a free preview of lots of bands, and it's going to be a great party, but ours is going to be even better. I did ask Her Majesty if she had anything else on, but she's a bit busy, so you have to put up with us instead. But please take the invitations, invite people, please let Debbie know if you're coming so we can cater for food. Have a blessed week, and see you next week.